Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. Tonight, if you have any comments that you would like to make during the broadcast, you can feel free to call them in. I'm at area code 646-716-4893. And if not, you can email me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to take your questions. So before we get started with my very special guest, I'll just make a few fast announcements. First of all, we're really moving ahead with our Philly Healing Weekend, scheduled for the last weekend in September. Each week, more women are committing to this, and it's going to be a really exciting couple of days together of healing, sharing, getting lots of support. So I am, like I said, very excited about that. If you would like information about our Healing Weekend, please let me know. And you can write to me at bonk@aol.com for that information. Also, tomorrow night is our UK chat, and it's wonderful to be in touch with our sisters in the United Kingdom and Ireland, and to have them have an opportunity to meet each other because they also feel very isolated and alone. So if you're listening from that area and you would like to be part of our online support chat, please let me know. And also, we have on Wednesdays our Adult Children of Gay Fathers support group, which is a very important group that is for children who are adults who had gay fathers and who are kind of caught in the middle of this and who are really feeling many of the emotions that they can't discuss with their mothers or their fathers because they just don't want to have to get in the middle of, you know, either place or feel a sense of disloyalty on either end. Lots of emotional stuff going on there. So if you have adult children 18 or over who need the support, please let me know also, and we'll be happy to hook them in. Also, I want to remind people that next week we have a very special guest, Donna Anderson from lovefraud.com. Donna had some technical problems before when she was supposed to be on, you know, back in April, but she will be reappearing with us next weekend. So for many of you who are living with men or who are married to men who are sociopaths, that's what Donna specializes in. And you can hear her point of view on that and how to survive with someone who is a sociopath and maybe discuss the differences between narcissism and sociopath types of husbands and men. So that show will be on next Sunday night. Please make sure you stay tuned in. And if you're not receiving my newsletter, please let me know. I'll be happy to put you on my mailing list. And, you know, whatever support you need, that's what we're there for. When I say we, I mean my whole network of wonderful women, one of who's joining me tonight. And I'd like to send a special hello here to Grace from Texas. Hi, Grace. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie. I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm a very big fan of yours, Grace.
Well,
in every possible way.
The feeling is mutual, Bonnie. I call you my energizer, Bonnie, because you have more energy than anybody I know.
Ah, thanks. I really appreciate that. I don't always feel that way at the moment, but I try my best to just keep moving forward. You know, I was so blessed to meet you, Grace, several times now in Texas, and, of course, we've developed our own personal friendship, but you know, you've been such a wonderful inspiration to me because, you know, I don't mean to embarrass you in any way, but, you know, when you walk into a room, you just light it up. You know, you're beautiful outside, you're beautiful inside. You know, you have so many things going for you, and yet you can still have that pain and vulnerability that the rest of us have because you've gone through a situation that many of our women can relate to. And I think that, you know, I'm trying to write something and put it together for our July newsletter and the June newsletter that'll be out next week. That's one that I kind of have dedicated to the men to write letters to our, you know, so our women can get a better understanding of what we're dealing with. And it's not like I'm pro, you know, pro the gay husband kind of point of view. I'm trying for us to have better understanding you know, it doesn't always make sense to us. And I know some women get really mad when I do this each year, like, why are you giving them time? I'm giving them time because we have to know what we're dealing with. You know, we have to understand the mentality. It's not like I'm, you know, giving them a soapbox to talk from. I want us to have a better understanding of what they're thinking, because they're thinking differently than other men think. And so that's, you know, my main purpose in doing that. But, you know, for July, when I'm writing my newsletter, you know, I've come up with some really new, interesting things that I think, like some epiphanies that I've been having, and I'll be sharing them. But one of the things that I'll be, I think it's just so confusing, and that you are such a great spokesperson for, is the whole point that women get so confused when they have men they were living with who are definitely gay, you know, or they were married to, who then leave the marriage, and boom, they're back with another woman. And we were just in our chat, you know, before I came on here, and that subject, of course, came up, because it happens to so many of our women. You know, this used to be more isolated. I have more and more women who are coming to me where this is happening, where the husband, you know, says, okay, I'm leaving, but guess what? I'm going to get another wife. And they do move on to another woman. And maybe you could talk to people a little bit about your situation and what you went through.
Well, it's just tragic. You know, I don't care what man it is, whether he remarries or not. They're all cowards in the fact that they can't be honest once they start acting on their homosexuality. But when they leave one woman and move on to the next, and I believe Dr. Hooper said at one of his shows when he was on with you that he had a man that had been married four times. And I just can't even wrap my brain around the fact that they can do that to someone else. But I do think that that's very cowardly when they know that they're a gay man and they continue to destroy women's lives. And my ex married pretty quickly after he left and the divorce was final. Married pretty quickly after that and had a baby soon after that. So, but, you know, when you talk about the stages of grief, I kind of have a different, everybody's story is different, but they're all the same. First of all, I did not find out my husband was gay until after the divorce was final. There were signs there, but I think I just was not willing to look at what it was. But my husband left me 2 weeks after I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And at that point, I was so focused, for the first time in my life, focused in entirely on me because I was in the fight for my life. So I really didn't grieve my marriage being over or anything like that. But when we did get divorced, I found a computer. And there was all the proof that I needed on there. And it wasn't but a couple months later, a friend notified me that he was marrying again. That started the process of the denial on my part, believing that, well, what if he isn't gay? What if, you know? But you finally get to the point where you have to, you can't deny, you can't continue to deny anymore what the facts are. And my heart goes out to that woman. I did try to notify her. I don't know if they're still together. I don't know if she believed what I wrote or anything like that. But now the ball's in her court. She has to do what she has to do. So, but it is. It's tragic when they move on to another woman. It's tragic what they do to us. But then when they move on to someone else, it just adds to the...
I think where so many women get so upset over this, Grace, so maybe you could give me your input on this, mm-hmm. is that, you know, most of these men are denying that they're gay to start with, and they're telling you that you're crazy. And even though you find the proof, you find the evidence, they're telling you you're out of your mind, how could I be gay, I'm married to you. And then you say, well, I know, but you're still looking at gay porno, or you're doing this, or you're doing that, or I get, you know, see your texts, I see this, you're signed up for these gay dating sites. So regardless of the fact you're married to me, you know, you're still gay. and they're still telling you that you're crazy because you're doing, they're doing their gay lighting thing to you. And then they go out and marry another woman, and then you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe I was crazy. Maybe, you know, I'm not seeing things right. You know, how's he able to have sex with some other woman? He wasn't having sex with me. Maybe it was me. Was any of that going through your head at all?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Bonnie, just like I said before, we all have our different stories and all that, but, you know, they say there's five stages to grief, and that is the denial and then the anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Well, I never got angry until I found out that he was marrying somebody else, and that was not anger at him for being gay. It was anger because I knew he was going to do this to someone else. But where I teetered back and forth was between depression and denial. And the denial really took root when I found out he was marrying another woman, because then you start second-guessing yourself all over
mm-hmm.
again. You know.
That's the part I want you to talk about, Grace, because
right.
so many of our women are saying, you know, there's something wrong with me. It's not that he didn't want a woman. He didn't want me. And then they
right.
think, well, maybe that behavior he was doing was because I did something wrong, because, look, he's going to another woman.
Right. Absolutely. And it's a horrible place to be in. I mean, just an absolute horrible place to be in, because you're already at rock bottom as far as self-esteem goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start working on trying to get your self-esteem back, or in my case, even get any self-esteem, and then you find out he's marrying another woman, and then you just plummet back down into that horrible abyss that you were in before. And I don't know, Bonnie, everybody goes through this in different ways. Like I said, I went through the denial and the depression just back and forth.
Grace, let me ask you a question. When mm-hmm. when your marriage ended and you found this information, because I know this happens to some women, and so maybe you can talk about this a little bit.
Sure.
You find the information, everything finally clicks in. What was going wrong in your marriage? Now you realize it was because he was gay. And you tell people, well, my marriage didn't work. You know, he was gay. And then all of a sudden he marries another woman, and, you know, now people are thinking, well, you're making this stuff up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just weren't a good enough wife for him, so you're making him look bad. Did you have any of those kinds of incidents?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I had people telling me that I was wrong and he wouldn't have gotten married again. And I mean, that's the horrible roller coaster. And I feel for any of the women out there that are listening tonight that have been going through this, because the validation from other people is not there. And so it's hard enough. And, you know, I don't know, Bonnie. I think the worst part for me was that people are very, very uncomfortable with this subject. No matter if they love you and they care about you, my friends and everything, they were very supportive, but they're very uncomfortable discussing the fact that I was married to a gay man. So you have so many obstacles, so many hurdles to jump when you're going through this, especially when they do remarry. You know, they think you're crazy or that you were mistaken. And
yes, I think that's even worse than women whose husbands go off and lead a gay life. You know,
right.
because of the fact that now not only do you have to know that he was gay, but now the doubt's on you on top of it.
Right. Absolutely. And so it's a horrible thing to have to go through. But you know, we all have our crosses to bear, is what I say, is that, you know, there's women out there that husbands have given them diseases, dangerous diseases. These
mm-hmm.
diseases. There's women, I mean, I would never, ever, and I know there's not a woman out there that have had children with a gay man that would wish that they hadn't had their children. They love their children and everything. But the heartache that they go through, knowing that their children have to deal with this also, has to be very traumatic for them and their children. I never had that. So, you know, we all have different obstacles and different hurdles to have to jump through this whole mess. But I never want to forget where I came from. I feel very fortunate that I'm 3 years into this now, and I am feeling stronger. I still have bad times. I don't want to give anybody that. I used to get angry when people would say, it's going to get better, because at the time when I'm going through it, when I was going really through the really hard times, I didn't feel that way. I never felt like it was going to get any better. But as the days and weeks and months and then finally years roll by, you do start. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of thinking about him, trying to figure everything out. Uh-huh. And it just came to that point, and I talked about this on one of the other shows that I was on, when my counselor made me make a list of all the things that just were not right about him in the marriage, and I had to read them out loud. For some reason, when you say them out loud, I mean actually speak it, it caused the denial to start going away again, and permanently for me. I just don't want to waste any more of my life thinking about him or what he's done or anything. I pray every night for his new wife and that little baby that they have, because I know eventually he's going to do her exactly the way he did me. But it's like being on a sinking ship. You can go down with that ship. You can keep trying to plug the holes in that ship, but eventually it's going to sink. And by the grace of God, he gave me a lifeboat, and I say that all the time, and I know people might not understand it, but cancer actually saved my life, because that was how I got out of the marriage without even knowing it, was that he left, and then I didn't have to deal with that anymore. And that doesn't take away the heartache that it would cause, but uh-huh. it did save my life. It really did save my life, my sanity.
And why did he leave? What was his reason?
He told me he just couldn't deal with it. And but looking back on it now, Bonnie, I believe that my ex had met someone, and he had brought a man to the house, and there was just something very strange about. He told me he had met this man that was in the same business that we were in, and that they were going to talk. And I was questioning him about, you know, how he met him and everything, and he said he met him on the internet on a farming site. And this man was going to come to the house, and my ex never drank coffee in his life, said he hated coffee. Never would make it for me in the morning, so just would not drink it. But all of a sudden he said, teach me how to make coffee. And I said, why? And he said, because this man likes coffee. And I thought, well, isn't that weird, you know? Well, then right after that, he started drinking coffee every day and wanted to go to Starbucks and all that. And I don't believe that this man was in the same business that we were in. I believe that this man and my ex had something going on, because very shortly after that, I was diagnosed with the cancer, and he left. And he moved close by where this man lives. So I really believe that that was the thing that that caused him to leave. It was just a convenient out for him at that point.
And like you said, you know, it did save your life. And sometimes, you know, it takes a tragedy in your own life to turn this around. Because the funny thing is, and I don't know if you would have felt the same. Well, you say you didn't really know until afterwards. You knew there was something wrong. But like in my marriage, where I kind of knew, you know, maybe if I didn't understand everything, because I thought a man who's gay wouldn't be married to a woman, you know, I felt very naive back, you know, 30-some years ago. But it took an incident for my ex-husband to walk out on me because he got angry at me because, you know, I found some personal stuff that he said I had no right looking at. And he thought he would teach me a lesson and walk out. And then that way, you know, he thought if he would come back in a week, which I didn't know he was planning to come back at all, that, you know, I would have fallen apart, you know, with two little kids, and that I would just accept him under his terms. But that was really a blessing, because if he hadn't walked out, I don't know if I would have ever had the strength to walk away. You know,
right.
I think you just get beaten down in these marriages, and even if you didn't know what the exact reason was till after he left, did you feel that way also?
Oh, my goodness. I was a shell of a person when I, and you know, Bonnie, I've thought back on that many, many times, is what did that say about what I thought of myself? And what I mean by that is, he made me feel insignificant, but I also felt insignificant, not just from the way he treated me, but because I just felt like I wasn't worthy of anything better than what I had. And now I realize that I am worth more than that. I am more valuable than that. But they take so much, they drain you of everything that you have inside of you because you're working so hard to try to understand, to try to figure out what's going on, to try to make him happy. And trust me, there is nothing you can do that's going to make him happy. Nothing. Absolutely nothing, because you're a woman. And there's nothing you have that's going to make him happy. And so when you get to that point, but he tried to come back. Apparently this man and him didn't make it. He tried to come back. He wanted to move back to the house, and I told him that the only way that I would allow him to ever come back in is if we would go to counseling. And he agreed, but every time I asked him when it was convenient for me to make an appointment, he would change the subject. And about the third or fourth time, he told me that we didn't need counseling. And I knew then that the marriage was over for me, because if he wasn't willing to try counseling at least, then there was no point. But he also told me that he knew he had been a bad husband, and that's when I told him that he hadn't been a bad husband, that he hadn't been a husband at all. And that's when he got very, very angry with me. And he went and filed for divorce right after that, and that was the end of it. So
now, you know,
like
I think that's another good tip that you bring up, that I know that in, you know, my marriage, when things were going really badly in the beginning, you know, when things started deteriorating, and I said to him the same thing. I said, I want to go for marriage counseling. And he said to me, well, I don't want to go for marriage counseling. We don't need marriage counseling. He said, I'm happy in the marriage. You're the one with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a common thing that these men say to their wives. And, you know, I really do believe it's because they're afraid to go for counseling because, and, you know, one of the things he did say to me, if you want to go for counseling, you go. But don't be telling anybody these thoughts that you're having. You know,
Right.
I don't want you discussing my business with anyone. You know, if you do that, you know, we're finished. So right away, you know, I can go for counseling under certain conditions as long as I don't reveal
right.
his secret. So
absolutely.
I think they're afraid to go, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and since I started going to see a counselor, and we've talked about this on many occasions, she's told me that any counselor that's a good counselor would
uh-huh.
have picked up immediately that gay was probably the issue when you start talking about that there's no intimacy in the marriage. And mine was very was full of rage and would just go off about the smallest details of something that was wrong. And so he knew that if he went, that would probably come up. So then it was that we didn't need to go to counseling. And so that was it for me. You know, I just knew then that the marriage was over and I was done. And I really, now looking back, I don't think I really wanted him back after that, was because I just felt like anybody who would walk out on their wife when they were at the lowest point of their life, that I didn't want him back. Still didn't know what the real problem was, but when I did find out, then I knew. But it is, and what they do, Bonnie, is they project. And I never really heard that term before until I got into counseling, but mine would tell me things that I would never understand. But what he was doing was projecting what he was doing and make it my fault.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you about one instance.
Yeah,
he had started
going to church. Can you explain that a little more to women?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I said, could you explain that a little more, so women can understand that whole projection?
Yeah, this sounds so strange, but I had always gone to church, and he didn't, and he had gotten into this church that I went with him a couple times, and I told him, this just isn't for me. It almost felt like a cult in there, and I just was not comfortable. If he wanted to go, that was his business, but I wasn't going to go. Well, that made him very angry at me, that I wouldn't go to church with him. And one certain Sunday morning, he got very angry when I was getting ready to leave for church, and he called me a Jezebel spirit. Now, I knew what Jezebel is, and I knew I was definitely not a Jezebel, but I had never heard the term Jezebel spirit. And so I went on and went to church, and when church was over, I found a lady who was very knowledgeable about the Bible and everything, and I asked her what a Jezebel spirit was. And she told me that it's a woman that tries to degrade and destroy her husband. And so I thought that was the furthest thing from how I was with him. I was trying always to build him up, to make the marriage work, to make him happy, and on and on and on, and it never was helping. And so now through this process of the years going by and everything, and talking to my counselor, she told me that that's exactly what he was doing. That's what he was doing to me, was destroying me, degrading me, putting me down, but he had to turn it around to make it my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very fascinating. But that was just one instance. He always found fault with everything I did, and projecting. He could turn a conversation around to make it my fault, no matter what it was. He got a DUI. I wasn't anywhere near him. I was at home in bed, sick with the flu, but it was my fault that he got a DUI.
Right.
Now go
exactly.
Ahead. So everything was my fault. Everything. That's what they do, though. They cannot accept that what they're doing in the marriage is wrong. So in order to make themselves feel better, they have to turn it around to make the wife to blame for everything that's wrong in the marriage. And it's just very sad, but that's the way it works most of the time. And, I hear women talk that they had good marriages, and I think that for them that has to be very, very devastating when the truth finally comes out, because they thought they had a good marriage. I would be willing to bet that the majority of us have marriages like I had, where it was not happy. We just could not figure out exactly what was going on,
Right. And I think that is true. I think that a lot of times women think they had a good marriage because it wasn't horrible. But I also think their expectations weren't really where they should have been. And not to put you on the spot, Grace, but I know that you're very open and honest, so I will ask you this question, because I think it's important for us to all make that kind of connection. When you got married to your husband, how do you feel your self-esteem was at that point?
It wasn't good. I had a father who was in the military until I was 15 years old. my dad ran our home like the military base. And he was very verbally abusive to my mother and us, and also physically abusive, never to my mother. He never laid a hand on my mom, but my dad was very physically abusive with us. Then I married a straight man who was verbally and physically abusive with me. And I had come out of that marriage before I met my gay ex, but I was still very broken. And I think he picked up on that right away. And he was so kind and loving and generous, and he was great with my kids. And I just thought I had found the perfect man for me. And I didn't want to get married again, and he kept asking, and I kept putting off, and finally he kind of gave me an ultimatum and told me he was going to go on his separate way, we'd go our separate ways, because he really wanted to get married, and my kids wanted that, but I really believed that that was my gut telling me not to do this, and I didn't listen to it, and I married him anyway. But from the minute we got married, things changed, and that's the truth. I mean, I went from being in this relationship with this man. The intimacy before we got married was not spectacular, but I could tell that he was trying, and I thought maybe he was 11 years younger than me, so maybe he was just a little bit inexperienced, and that would come with time, but it didn't not only not get better, it got fewer and fewer. And I mean, there was just hardly anything there, you know.
And, I think in the beginning, at least they have to put on the pretense that they can have sex.
Right.
So even if it's not great sex, because I don't think most of them are very experienced with women, it's experienced at all. But
right.
I think they put on the pretense to throw us off track, because naturally, if they're able to have sex, whether it's good or bad, is not the issue. They're able to perform something, so why would we think they're gay?
Right.
And especially if you don't have a lot of experience.
Right. So self-esteem was just not even there, you know. And then, like I said, almost immediately after the marriage, he changed into somebody that was just exactly like my dad and my straight husband was, the tearing down, the verbal abuse, and so I really never had anybody a man in my life to build me up or to make me feel, I don't ever expect anybody to give me self-esteem, but I think people can add to the way you feel about yourself. And I never had that. So I've had to really work on that, you know.
I think if you have self-esteem and you have good, strong self-esteem, you know, going into these relationships, it's easier to end them. But
right.
I think the majority of us don't have great self-esteem going into them. And it's not because you don't think much of yourself. It's because it'd be for so many different reasons. Like, you can come from a family where there's abuse in there. You can come from out of a first marriage where it was really a bad marriage, where you made a mistake. So whenever you're feeling vulnerable, it's really hard to build your self-esteem. Because I know that, you know, I had pretty good self-esteem going into my marriage. You know, it's probably at its best point that it had been throughout my life. So it was pretty strong. But because I didn't come from a background of high self-esteem, I was just there at the moment. It didn't take much to knock it down, you know, even if you were up there temporarily. You know, if you don't have it, it's easy to, you know, peel it away pretty quickly. And these guys know how to do it because, you know, they're so protective of themselves from you finding out the truth that, you know, is it okay to mention about your writing?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Because Grace is a beautiful writer. And, you know, as a matter of fact, she's started a blog. And it's okay to mention that, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, it's a great blog. It's called thewivescloset.wordpress.com. If you want more information, if you don't have time to write it down, just write to me and I'll send it to you, because I send it out to a lot of our support group members. But as you were writing in here, you know, it gets so exhausting, doesn't it? It takes,
yes.
Like you say in this one post from May 25th, closeted gay men are always exhausted, and living with them is exhausting. It takes an extraordinary amount of time and energy to hide their true self, not to mention their extracurricular activities. Our gay men play the old game of bait and switch. The bait is how wonderful he is in the beginning, but as the weeks, months, and years pass, he switches to the man who finds fault with everything we say and do. The house, meals, laundry, the way you look, you name it, never meets his expectations, and he makes us feel aware of it. And I think that is so true. You know, they, and this is what upsets me, I guess, the most about these guys. You know, they're gay. Okay. I mean, you know, they don't have any choice in being gay. But instead of just taking responsibility for it, they take it and they, like you say, they project it back at you, like you're responsible for this.
Right.
And one of the women in the chat room tonight was saying, I don't know, you know, I think he enjoyed having me being miserable. And I said, absolutely, because misery loves company. They are sitting there, even though they asked you to marry them, and they were hot and heavy after getting married. I know, I'm sure your husband was. I know mine was very pushy, wanted to marry me. But then when you marry them and they realize all of a sudden they have to be straight men, which they can't be, they feel very trapped, and instead of accepting it, they take it out on you and make you the cause of their unhappiness.
All right. Right. I think you wrote something beautifully one time, that we become the warden and we have the key to their life outside, doing what they want to do. And that's so true. And they resent us. And the irony is that they wanted to marry us, but then we become the enemy so quickly afterwards. And it's so confusing. I think Misty called it dancing in the circle of crazy, and that's exactly what it is. No matter what you do, it's never going to be right. And, you know, it's funny that once you can finally get out of that circle, it's a whole different world out there, you know. It's just when you're in the circle, it's so hard to see.
Right,
anywhere.
And it's kind of like I always now kind of compare it to, like, you know, the or the little gerbils in the cage running on that little wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep running and going round and round and round and round, you know, and they're just going nowhere. And that's how you feel so trapped in these marriages. You're just living with this craziness. And no matter how, you know, you think it's better for a day or two and boom, it's back again. You know, or when they, you know, see that you're getting too upset, like they'll calm down for a day or two and boom, it's back again. But you were talking about in your blog also that about your ex drinking. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, my goodness. That was a really source of contention in the marriage, because he thought that because he didn't drink every day that he didn't have a drinking problem. But when he drank, it would be to the point where he would just pass out. I believe that, and I've heard this too many times, that that's them self-medicating. Some men, I'm sure, even do narcotics, but mine just drank. And he would just drink till he passed out. And but he never wanted to drink at the house. He wanted to drive around and drink, which I'm surprised he just had one DUI, you know. I'm not a big drinker. I may have a glass of wine every now and then, or in Texas we drink margaritas. I might have a margarita, but I'm not a big drinker. So he would just leave in his truck and go out drinking. I've often wondered since then if that was all he was doing, but he did drink a lot. And I believe that that's just so he didn't have to face what he was, you know, what was going on inside. And, he drank a lot.
And I think that's a common thing, as you were saying. You know, they say that within the gay community there's an excessiveness of drinking and drugs because they have a hard time dealing with who they are. And that may be, or they have a hard time. I mean, I know that, you know, Gail, who's a wonderful member of our support network from Canada, you know, she had to deal with this also. And she went to Al-Anon, and that really helped her understand how she didn't have to be a caretaker for her, you know, ex-husband. You know, she was dealing with a gay alcoholic, you know, husband. So you have like a double whammy there. And I know a lot of our women are dealing with that also. So, you know, there's just so many issues because they can't come to terms with themselves that we end up dealing with them. And it really upsets me because I get so many women who have been married for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. And I think these 40-year women, it's like a life sentence that you're with someone and you've never had the chance to know. I mean, some of these women are in their 60s now and they're so burned out. You know, even though I'm in my 60s, but I didn't have a long-term marriage like they did, and I had a wonderful soulmate to give me some help along the way here for almost 20 years, so I'm in a very different position, but they feel like they're never going to trust again, they're never going to go with anyone again, you know, this part of their life is over, and I think you go a whole lifetime, you've had one man in your life, and he's a gay man. You'll know, never know what it's like to have someone who really wants you, desires you, wants to make love to you, thinks, who wants to touch you, who doesn't care what you look like, you know, they love you. I mean, they're never going to know this, and that was robbed from them. And I feel
that is so sad to me. It truly is sad to me. And I've often wondered, Bonnie, some of those women may be the ones but they had a happy marriage because they had nothing to compare it to. They thought that was the norm, which everybody would have thought that if that was the only person that they had ever been with, that was the way marriage was supposed to be. Maybe they treated them nicer. You know, maybe they weren't rageaholics like mine was or whatever, but they thought they had a good marriage. But to never experience intimacy with a man, the straight man, to me is so sad that some women will never, ever experience that. Because I said this one time before, it's like night and day. It's nothing like being with a gay man. It's nothing like that, you know. And it's very sad to me.
It's sad. And also, I mean, I don't know if this is, maybe I'm just too jaded at this point, but, I mean, I know that there are men who are better husbands than others. Don't get me wrong. I know some who are really wonderful as far as doing the right thing. But even if they had a good marriage and they were a good husband, I mean, in their own minds, they think they're, like I've had men say to me, I was such a good husband, you know, I'm sorry she feels like this. Well, you weren't such a good husband if you're gay and you're married. I mean, like, they don't get this, Grace. You know, they think just because they go out and have a job and support their wife, that made them a good husband. That is not what being a good husband is about, correct?
Right. And that's what my ex would throw in my face. He was a very good provider. He worked hard and everything. He thought that was what made him a good husband, was that he provided monetary for me. Well, I'm quite capable of providing myself monetarily, but I wanted more than just money, you know. I wanted that someone in my life that made me feel like a woman. And that's the sad part, is when we come out of these marriages, or even when we're still in them, we no longer even feel like a woman. I felt like an it. I didn't feel like a woman at all. And
well, they sexually really tear you down. Exactly. You have no sexual esteem, because when a man constantly rejects you and makes you feel as if you're the reason why you're not having sex, because you're too needy, you ask for too much, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too busty, you're too flat-chested, you know, he'll come up with 40 million reasons why he doesn't want to have sex with you. So how are you supposed to feel? I mean, how do you take that away from a woman?
And feel
it's okay to do that. And that's what I don't get. They just don't get it, because, once again, they're playing the part. You know, they are visiting the relationship. They can never be true you know, participants in these marriages because they're gay men. And
right.
This is where I think the disconnect is, that, you know, we all try to be so politically correct, and we all try to say, oh, well, they're really good guys. Like this whole thing when Jason Collins came out, he was really a good guy because he did the right thing. Okay, it's nice they all do the right thing, but when they're all doing the wrong thing and the tremendous toll it takes on women and zaps the life out of them, like nobody's sitting and talking about that.
Right. Well, and, you know, they are narcissists because everything revolves around them. You know, everything revolves around them. And they think that as long as they can fool us and they're going to work and bringing home a paycheck, that that's pretty much all that they have to do. The sad thing about it is they not only ignore us, but a lot of them eventually push their children aside. And that goes back to what my post said on the blog about them always being exhausted. Mine would come home, lay down on the couch, and immediately go to sleep because of all this, I guess, in his brain was overworked trying to hide everything. And then
mm-hmm.
no telling what his body was overworked doing on when he was out doing whatever he was doing. So, but just trying to figure out everything, there's no way that you can totally understand. And, you know, Bonnie, I think most of us, when we do find out, we become detectives. You've talked about that. I know
mm-hmm.
I did it even though we were no longer together. I was trying to find anything and everything I could find to try to figure out what was all going on. And it's exhausting trying to do that. And you'll never, ever, ever know everything that was going on. There's no way you can because you weren't with him, you know. And I call it being an investigator. You're just
That's
always trying
term.
To find anything gay, you know, anything gay.
I love that, Grace. I'm going to feel
yeah,
that.
We've
say, I'll,
pay,
I'll give you credit for it, but I love it.
Gay tour.
No, that's so,
so
perfect, and that's what we become,
yeah.
investigators, looking for the gay
yeah,
stuff.
That's exactly what you do. But after a while, and you know, Bonnie, Wendy touched on this, and she said it so beautifully, but, you know, Wendy's come a long way. We talked about that. She and I have talked about that. I feel like I'm moving forward in a little bit. But we don't ever want to forget where we came from, because that's where the compassion comes in for women that are first going through it. You know, you never want to, you can't keep reliving what you went through, or then you're not going to ever move forward. But I always want to be compassionate to other women that are going through, especially the very beginning when they're so hurt, feel so betrayed, all that, and it's such a devastating time. And if you can have somebody that you can just vent to, if they want to be angry, if they want to curse, if they, doesn't matter what they want to do, you just have to kind of let them go through whatever they need to go through, because if anybody understands it, it's all of us that have already been there and gone through the worst part of it. But I can only tell women that it does get better. It you may not want to hear that like I didn't, but it really does get better. Things do, life goes on, and things do get better, you know.
And don't you think that part of it, though, is the fact that when you go through this, you do feel so isolated and alone. And
yes.
you think, oh, my God, how will anybody ever understand this? You know, I'm so embarrassed. How could this happen? How could I be so stupid? People are going to think I was stupid. There's nobody like this out there like me. And even though there's millions of us, we still feel so isolated. So can you give people some feedback as far as, like, how you feel the healing weekends are?
Oh, my gosh, that was what I made a note of that I was going to say. I know you have your other one in Philadelphia at the end of September. If you can make it to one of Bonnie's healing weekends, I can't even tell you how strongly I urge you to try to make a trip to one of the healing weekends. You will never come out of there the same way you went in. I promise you that. you, there's something very, very, very cathartic and healing about actually meeting the women face-to-face, being able to carry on conversations. When we go out to dinner after the first day and we've kind of gotten to know one another sitting around the table, everybody tells their story, and you form friendships that you would never have had. And I think we all come in there the very first time being very nervous, not knowing what to expect. And I've said this before, after 10 minutes of being in that room, you feel like you've known these women all your life, and no one is judgmental. No one is, no one gets upset with you or angry with you or anything. They're just showing support, agreeing with, they said, you know, they'll say, my ex did that, or my husband does that. And it just gives you validation of what you're going through. And I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, I think just meeting other women, I think this is a big problem, that a lot of times even the people come into the chat room, you know, they listen to the show, they read the newsletters, they read letters from other women, they read the books. But making the face-to-face connection makes a big difference, and going in the right direction with it. You know, I think support on all levels is important, but I hate to see negative support being given. And sometimes women really feel caught up if they're not in the right support network. For instance, if they meet other women who are encouraging them to stay in the marriages, or, you know, I know that, like I said, I don't judge what other people are doing. I just know it's not right for me and for the women that I work with. You know, I'm not saying that everybody can rush out of a marriage immediately. And I always say you have to be emotionally free first before you can be physically free. A lot of women are very stuck because of finances. You know, but you can't delude yourself in thinking that, okay, well, we're just going to stay together forever and make it work. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine. There's groups for you to do that with, like the Straight Spouse Network. They have a mom's division where, you know, mixed orientation marriage, and for women who decide to make it work. But, you know, I'm never going to encourage any woman to stay in a marriage. And some women have to stay there temporarily or because they're kind of stuck there, but, you know, they realize that this is not a marriage. And by meeting other women who are in that same position, even if you don't leave right away, but at least you know what the truth is, and at least you know what you're dealing with, and at least you're not thinking you're going crazy anymore. By the way, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have two letters come in for you, Grace. One is from Wendy, and it's Wendy, we're very big fans of Wendy's in Houston, and we've been very lucky to have Wendy on our show last week. The week before, I'm sorry. But, you know, like I say, Wendy is a very wonderful support person, and she writes such beautiful stuff. And she said, thanks for having our wonderful Grace on tonight. She inspires me so much.
Aww.
So that's to you from Wendy. And also from Debbie in Florida, from our Straight Spouse Representative Debbie Thomas Brown in Florida for Florida, you know, Florida Connect, South Florida Connect.
Right.
Debbie will be on our show in a couple of weeks also because she really works with the minority community from the islands down there. And she's such a wonderful speaker. And she said, tell Grace, I like her term GPS, gay posing straight. I like that better than down low. So,
my blog post was lost with a GPS, a gay posing straight. So,
that's your last post where it says, everyone has heard of a global positioning system. Most of us even have one. The GPS is a widely used tool when we don't know how to get from point A to point B. We start with the current location, key in our destination, voila, voice command begins navigating our journey. After contemplating this, the straightwise have another kind of GPS, a man that's gay posing straight. Their directive is to keep us off track. They're doing this by omitting the information we need to find our way in the relationship. In other words, he doesn't tell us the truth, that he married us under false pretenses and that he's homosexual. Without providing these vital facts, we keep finding ourselves not knowing whether we are coming or going, lost in the abyss. Lose weight, keep the house cleaner, be a better mother, stop nagging, all the while we comply with these ridiculous demands and nothing changes. The longer we live with him, the more confused and lost we become. Wrong turn, rerouting. This message is, was reiterated with great frequency. I think that's so great that you came up with that, you know, GPS.
Well, hi to Wendy and Debbie. And that just goes to show you, Bonnie, and to tell the women that are listening about the Healing Weekend. I was blessed to have met Wendy and Debbie and several other women that I still keep in contact with, and they've turned not just sisters in this horrible thing that we have to go through, but they've become my friends, and just like you're my friend. And I am so blessed to have all of y'all in my life, and that's what women can look forward to if they can ever come to a Healing Weekend, is that they come away with great friendships. And I cannot reiterate that enough to anybody that can come. Try to make plans to attend one of the Healing Weekends.
Yeah, it really makes a difference, you know, to feel so validated, because throughout our marriages we've been made to feel so invalid, you know, in everything that we think and everything we say and do. But I think the most important message that I'd like to get across to women more and more is that you can't personalize anything that your husbands do in a real personal way, because once again, they're gay men. They're not straight men. They're gay men, pretend, you know, who are trying to be straight, and they don't know how to do it. So even though they personally hurt us, I'm not saying that we should negate those feelings, but you have to realize where it's coming from. You know, I always say that it takes two to make a marriage, except when you have a gay husband, then it only takes one.
Right.
And people say, well, you know, you can't say it's all his fault, or when women tell me, well, I did things that were wrong too. Okay, but you were doing things, you know, that were wrong in response to the way he was treating you as a gay man.
Absolutely.
You know, so am I right? Like, if you would get
Absolutely.
Angry, a straight man wouldn't be saying those things to you to start with.
Right. See, I don't ever refer to mine as a husband, because he wasn't a husband. I just call him my gay ex. And I never refer to it as a marriage, because it wasn't a marriage. I refer to it as the years I spent with him. And so that's my way of empowering myself to say, you've said this so many times and so eloquently. None of us fault our husbands for being gay. They were born that way. But what they do with it is what we fault them for, is how they handle being gay, you know. And but I have no
animosity.
And
I'll go one step above that, Grace. I don't even blame them for marrying us in many cases, because I really do believe that to the best of their ability, they thought they could be husbands to us. But as soon as they realize that they couldn't be, that's where it has to stop. As soon as you start thinking about men, and then you can't feel good about your wife, or you don't want to sleep with her, then it's time to say, you know what, I made a mistake. I thought I could do this, but I can't. And maybe that's 6 months or a year or 2 years into it, but not 30 years into it, or 20 years or 10 years. I mean, you know you're out there before that, or you know you're thinking about it all along, and you know that you're gay on some level.
Absolutely. But you had said something earlier about women that needed to get a game plan. They may not be able to leave right now, and I totally can understand that. The only thing that I would want to tell women that are still in the marriage or whatever is do get yourself a game plan and prepare yourself, whatever that entails, financially, whatever, so that you can leave on your terms. Because we all know that there are women out there that were blindsided. The husband comes in one night and says, I've got to talk to you, I'm gay, and I'm leaving. And then they're caught not knowing what to do because they're so devastated they can't even think straight. So if you know or suspect that your husband's gay, if you're just not happy in your marriage and you're not quite sure what it is, get yourself together enough to know that you can leave on your terms rather than it being on his terms. And that's the most important thing I can tell anybody is, I mean, most of us were blindsided and we had to pick up the pieces and move on. In my case, I didn't know it was about gay until later on, but so many of us are blindsided, and then we're sitting there trying to deal with everything when we're going through emotional and mental and physical turmoil, and it's hard to get yourself together when you're going through that. So try very desperately to start planning your exit and
right.
do it on your terms rather than on his terms.
Right. I tell women you have to have a game plan. And as
yes.
much as you want to go and reveal, you know, or confront him, or, you know, I know the truth now, I tell women I know it's so hard not to run into him and say that. Believe me, I do know, because I know how I wanted to do it all the time. But, you know, you have to protect yourself, and you have to look at the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is that you know that this is going to come to an end, but you still have a life ahead of you. And I have just seen so many of these guys, once they're on alert that, you know, all of a sudden now they're hiding their assets, they're hiding everything, they're blaming
yeah.
things on you. You know, you can't give them that head jump. You have to make the first jump. And get all
yes.
your ducks in order, get yourself a lawyer, get the right legal advice. You know, one of the things that we're going to have our speaker come back, you know, during the summer. I don't know if you had a chance to hear him. I really loved him. His name was Mike from Linked Investigations.
Yes, I did listen to
Wasn't
him.
He great? I loved him.
Yes, he was.
And what I'm awesome. Really excited, when he comes back, he's really going to talk about that financial investigation that women need to do. Because I hadn't even really thought of that from a private investigator, that they can go through all these records. And so many of these men are hiding assets because they don't want you to get something, or they feel you don't deserve it anyway, or, you know, it's for them, for their life. And I think that women lose out so much because they're just not prepared. And these guys are quick. You know, they've known their secret their whole life. You're just finding it out.
That's right, and that's what I'm trying to tell women, is that when you can get yourself financially, or whatever it is, whether it be going back to school and start working on getting, for me, I mean, like I said, I was out of work for 2 years. We had our own business, and it was very difficult for me to find a job. I knew a lot of things, but there were some things on computers that I was not privy to, and I started taking classes online. I gave the website to go to the last time I was on the show. The courses are $90, and they will teach you how to do PowerPoint presentations. They will teach you how to do spreadsheets, take you some online courses to prepare yourself so that if you are not employed right now, you can go out and get some kind of a job to get you on your feet again. There's so many things that you need to look into, but my point being is that do it on your terms. Get everything lined out so that, because like I said, once you find out, you're so devastated that you can't hardly think about anything else, and that's why it's so important for you to do this ahead of time so that you can get yourself ready when it's time for you to go.
Well, those are really wonderful words of wisdom, Grace. And, you know, every time we have you on the show, it goes so fast. I can't believe the time is over. Really, we could just sit and keep talking all night long.
Oh,
and
I
can't thank you enough. I just hope you'll come back soon, you know, during the summer, because people just aren't so inspired by you. And I just want to remind, I know a lot of people don't listen to the show live. We have several thousand listeners each week. But, you know, a lot of people listen during the week at their own times, you know, that they can. So if you're not listening live and you didn't catch, you know, Grace's blog's email address, just send me a note at bombk@AOL. And, Grace, if it's okay with you, for the July newsletter, you know, that I have coming out, I would love to put your GPS article in there and then give the email, you know, give the website for your blog, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Anytime you need to use anything off of there, you just do it. You don't need my permission. Just do it.
Thanks, Grace.
It's my pleasure.
It makes me realize, hell, I mean, I am happy I'm not in Texas. It's summertime, but I'm sad I'm not in Texas because I miss my girlfriends, all of you down there. And
well, I've got your bedroom ready at my new house.
I know, Grace. I'm so excited.
When
I can run away from home to Austin, it'll be wonderful. But
yeah.
Yes, you may have a boarder coming soon. But I really do appreciate your being here. I do love you. I mean, for all, you know, your name says it all, Grace, and that's who you are. You're really everything that word really exemplifies. And I love you, and I thank you so much for being part of the show tonight. And let's send our love to all our Houston sisters that we have from, you know, our meeting in Houston. And to all of our wonderful women who come to our, you know, radio show to find the support they're looking for. Love to all of you, and please tune in next week. We're going to have Donna here. Have you heard Donna before, Grace?
Yes, I have.
She's great. I know. I'd love to hear about those sociopathic men. So
yes.
We'll be on here next week with that. And when you come back, we can talk about the narcissistic ones. How's that?
I love it.
Okay.
So good night, Bonnie, and
I love you very much. Good night. I love you, and good night to all our listeners. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Good night.